more.
I need more. A week or so ago, we had Sister Melissa scheduled to preach, and I just felt like it would be in order, and I appreciate this lady and her spirit, her love for God, her prayer life, her consistency. I think we've known Sister Brenda and Brother Kelby, I think back when Hector was a pup, I think. But it's been good, and I had hair. So Sister Brenda's coming right now to bring us the Word. Let's open up our hearts and receive God's Word in Jesus' name.
I told him I had a problem with following Sister Melissa. She was dynamic this morning. And if you didn't get to be here, I highly encourage you to buy a CD because it's more than worth it. It'll be on Facebook. All right. It'll be free. You don't even have to pay for it. How many believe that when God is silent, He's still working? Amen. Would you stand and pray with me, because I need the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You're an awesome God. God, You have been in this place since this morning. Your Spirit has moved in a mighty way. We have felt Your presence in an awesome way. And God, I ask that You do what You want to do at this time of the service. God, I ask that You help me to get the point across the way that You laid it upon my heart. I ask for a demonstration and a moving of the Holy Ghost. I ask for a moving and a demonstration of Your glory and of Your power. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read a verse in Psalms 56, verse 10. Hold your place there, and I want to go to Psalms 105, verse 17. Psalms 56 and 10. In God, I want to stop just a minute and ask you to help me tonight. Every time that you read the word, would you read it out loud with me? I'm going to start over. In God I will praise His. In the Lord I will praise His. What are we going to praise? His Word. Psalms 105, verse 17. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his came and the of the Lord tried him. Let's read verse 19 again. Until the time his came and the of the Lord tried him. Thank you for standing. There's an old song that come to my mind after Pastor asked me if I would be the speaker tonight. I believe it was Lester Roloff that would sing this song as he come on the radio. My dad always listened to him. And the chorus of the song said, "Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life." It's life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty teach me faith and teach me duty. It's not just we are to receive the word by faith and say, oh, that's good, because there's some duty that goes along with it. Beautiful words, wonderful words. Wonderful words of life. If I had a title for this tonight, it would just be Until. So simple. God speaks to us a lot of times he gives us promises and it's like, oh, wow, Lord, that is so good. Man, that's the best promise you've given me in a long time. That's awesome. I'm ready to receive that promise, Lord. I've heard from you and I'm ready for you to just send that promise right on down. But I have found out the promise is not always fulfilled immediately. It takes time. Sometimes it takes years. But what are we going to do between the promise and the fulfillment of that promise? The true test is what we do until. In the scripture that I read in Psalms 105, the psalmist was reciting the history of Israel. And we know that God went before them, met their needs, their clothes didn't wear out in the wilderness. He provided them with food and with water. And every time that they needed it. But the Bible is, the psalmist here is speaking about Joseph and how God used him. We know that the scripture tells us when Joseph was born, and then we don't hear anything about him until his teenage years. And God began to speak to him in dreams. You know the story, very familiar story. The dream of his older brothers bowing down to him. And then he dreamed again of not only his brothers bowing down to him, but also his mother and his father bowing down to him. And Jacob said to him, Joseph, what kind of dream is that? And the Bible says that Jacob rebuked him. Son, what in the world are you doing? Son, what are you thinking? You're just a lad. But the scripture goes on to say also that Jacob wondered. What does that mean? My boy told me something. And I think I just feel something down here that's burning in my heart. God, there must be something to that. Not long after that, it was Jacob's boys had taken the flock off to pasture. Jacob said, Joseph, would you go check on your older brothers and see how they're doing? And I just got to know, son. Go find out how they're doing and come back and tell me. Joseph's brothers saw him coming, and of course, they didn't like him. They were jealous of him. They were jealous of that coat of many colors. And immediately, they started planning on what they was going to do to him. They was just going to kill him. They threw him in the pit. But let me tell you, every pit that you're in, God's got a promise. They took that robe and they covered it with goat's blood. But they didn't leave him in the pit as they had intended. They went ahead and drug him out. Sold him as a slave for 20 pieces of silver. The price of a slave. I think of a 17-year-old young man. To me, a 17-year-old is just a kid. But being sold as a slave, abused. But they sold him for that few pieces of silver, and I've always thought, well, what did they buy with that money? And whatever they did do with that money, no doubt every time they looked at that, they thought of Joseph, and surely if they had any conscience at all, it bothered them. And again, Joseph was sold to Potiphar in Egypt. You know the story, how that Joseph became Potiphar's personal attendant and put in charge of his entire household. In charge of everything that he owned until Potiphar's wife falsely accused him and lied about him. He was thrown in prison. He had done nothing wrong. And the scripture that I read there in Psalms 105 says that they put his feet in fetters, they bruised his feet, and they placed his neck in an iron collar. Can you imagine how uncomfortable and how painful that would be, much less if they left him there very long at all? Some translations say that his body had to lay in iron. Until when? How long? Several years. Until the word came. Until it was time for the Lord's word to come to pass. But in the between the promise and the fulfillment of that promise, this verse says the word of the Lord tried him. Oh, wait a minute, God, you gave me a promise. You didn't tell me you was going to try me. Yeah, there's trials, there's tests. The word tried here means to be refined or purged away. Oh, God, I thought I was good enough. God, I thought I was doing my best for you. You told me I'd be second in command. You told me there'd be people bound down to me. And now you're going to try me? Yeah, because the word says that we will be tested. If not, you might be, but you will be tested. Tested to see if our faith in God is genuine. To see if we're really going to trust God. To see if we're really going to believe what he told us is true. That's why Jesus told Peter, he said, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. The Lord, the word says that it was the word of the Lord that tried Joseph. I don't like tests. Back to the first verse that I read in Psalms 56 and 10. What the psalmist say? I'm going to praise you for your word. You may feel like that you're in stocks. You may feel like that you're in prison. You may feel like that you're in bonds. But I'm going to praise the word. Because that's the word. The word of God is the only thing that's true. The word of God is the only thing that is lasting. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will remain forever. And Joseph had to be tested before he could take that throne. Joseph's faith in the word of what God gave him was tested. Joseph's faith in what God spoke to him about the dreams was tested. Severely tested. Not just a little bit, but severely. And while he was being tested, did he believe that God was still with him then? The Bible never records of him complaining. But testing describes the smelting or the separation process that removes the dross or removes the waste from fine metal. And unfortunately, there's no such thing as a hurry-up process. Purifying gold is lengthy. It's painstaking. Proverbs 17 and 3 says, fire tests the purity and silver and gold, but the Lord tests our heart. God had to test the heart of Joseph. God had to test Joseph to see if he was true, to see if he was pure. But I don't believe he ever let his faith waver. The Bible never records him questioning God, why? Why am I here? There had to be a time that, so many times that he surely wanted to go back home and see his dad, see his brothers. I believe he just said, God, remind me of those dreams again. Remind me of what you told me. Sing those words over again to me, Lord. As Joseph was growing up, I can just almost see Jacob putting his arm around him and instructing him in the ways of the Lord. We know that Jacob didn't always do what God told him to do, and he ran from the Lord, and he was a very deceiving person. But I can just almost picture Jacob with his arm around Joseph and teaching him about the Lord and telling him that sin doesn't pay. To run from your troubles as he did doesn't pay. To make enemies doesn't pay. Because however long the road away from God is the same road that we've got to travel to get back to Him. I believe that Jacob taught Joseph how to have that one-on-one relationship with him. Son, it's not what others do. Son, it's not what others don't do. But it's between you and God. And I believe that that is why God could talk to Joseph and show him the future and show him ways that he was going to use him. We can only make a commitment for ourselves. But as the goldsmith refines the gold or the silver so that the dross and the waste can be removed, God often has to put us through the furnace of suffering before we'll listen to Him. God often has to put us in that furnace of suffering before we'll call upon Him. 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Beloved, not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." He didn't say it would just be a trial, but he called it a fiery trial. We have to go through the fire. In the Old Testament, the fire was a symbol of holiness. It was a symbol of presence of God. It takes holiness to please the Lord. But Peter saw the image of fire as a refining process. And it hurts that suffering, that we have to suffer, but that's what proves our true character. It clears away the waste and the things that are not necessary in our life that we can become so weighted down with. I want to read 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. You may be weighted down this evening. You may be going through a lot of temptations and tests and trials. That the trial of your faith is more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Hang on. Jesus is coming. And the trying of your faith is much more precious than gold. David said in Psalms 119 and 67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept thy word." Sometimes it's necessary for us to go through trials, as bad as that sounds. But it tests our faith, it tests our sincerity. Been studying about Job, or we studied about Job Wednesday night in class. And Job said, "He knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." His mind was made up, he wasn't giving up on God. Job said, "I have esteemed the words of your mouth more than my necessary food. For I have treasured your words more than my daily food." Can we say that? How important is the word of God to you? Job was hurting and he didn't understand why he was suffering. He didn't understand that wager that had gone on between the old ugly tempter and God. And he kept saying, "God, if I could just hear from you, I just need to hear something from you. God, would you give me some answers?" Hey, we've all been there. We've all gone through desert times. We've all gone through dry times. And God, if I could just hear your voice, if you could just give me some answers. I've said so many times, "God, if I could just sit at your feet and you give me some answers and help me to understand." But until he does, we have to learn to trust God even when we don't understand what's going on. We'll never have all the answers, and if we did, we wouldn't trust God. Psalms 119 and 103 says, "How sweet are your words unto my taste. Is the word sweet to you? Psalmist said, yeah, it's sweeter than honey. God's word's pure. And if he says it, he'll do it. If he says it, it'll come to pass. The word of God is sweet. It gives us energy. It helps us to obey as honey energizes the flesh. The word is something that we can feed on. As honey is an excellent food that has benefits for the body and benefits for the mind, how much more does the Word of God have benefits for the spiritual body and the spiritual mind? It heals our wounds. Honey will heal burns. The Word of God will heal every need that we have. The psalmist said that God's words were sweeter than honey. The entire chapter of Psalms 119 is all about the Word. If you get a chance to read it, read it. But there's an old Jewish tradition that says a large drop of honey is placed on the first page of the Torah. The first time that a Jewish child opens the Bible to read it and to study it. And by the way, when we were Israel, they told us that when school kids get in the second or third grade, they are required to read the Bible every day, just like any other textbook. But as the honey was put on the first page of the Torah, the child is instructed to lick the honey from the paper, forever imprinting the young scholar with the memory paste of pleasure, the conviction that the study of God's word is sweet, and they call it secret pleasure. If I were to ask you to name something that was a pleasure to you, how many of us would say the Word of God? When we think of the law, we think of something that keeps us from having fun. But the Word of God corrects us, converts us. It makes us wise. You want to be wiser? Read the Word. You want your eyes open to things you don't understand? Read the Word. The Word warns us, it rewards us, it guides us. It is not a chain to bind us, but God's Word brings help, it brings security and peace. Jeremiah said, your words were found, and I did eat them, and your word unto me was joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Isn't it awesome when the Lord speaks to you, and it just makes even the flesh just feel so much better and exciting? Back to Psalms 56 and 10. In God I'll praise His word. In the Lord I will praise His word. Strong's Concordance says the word here means power, means His promise and His provision. God, when I'm going through tough times, I'm going to praise You for Your provision. I'm going to praise You for Your promise. David wrote this Psalms when he was running from Saul, and he went to the Philistine country all alone in danger. He had a target on his back. He pretended that he was insane, trying to escape, and he writes the words, God, I'm going to praise You for Your word. God had given him a promise that he was going to be king one day and sit on the throne. And he had to rest in that promise that God gave him. Ephesians 6:17 says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word. It takes the Word to defeat the enemy when he's fighting against us. When we were at the E-Women Conference in Tulsa, I believe it was back in March, Lori Story was one of the speakers, and she said, things might not get better, but we can get better. I believe that was Joseph's attitude, even when he was in prison. He was determined not to let the trials and the prison keep him down. We have a choice. We have a choice. I'm praying that God give you dreams. I pray that God gives you visions. I pray that God quickens His word to your heart, that you can stand on that promise in the tough times, in the trying times. Because there's going to be tough days ahead. I'm not being no doom and gloom preacher. I'm just telling you, this world's getting ready to crumble. And I'm just telling you, it's a thing called life. That there will be trials, there will be tests. And you can rest in the Word of God. You can stand. You can say, God, let me hear that Word again. Give me strength and give me grace and give me beauty, Lord. It takes God time to work in things, and it's a process. I was reminded of several years ago, I was going through a tough time in my life, and I've told you all how that God speaks to me in songs. I felt like that my world had crumbled and there was no future. God gave me that song that says, roses will bloom again. Just wait and see. Don't mourn what might have been. Only God knows where and when. Roses will bloom again. And I had one little old pitiful rose bush. It really wasn't even a bush. Probably a foot tall. And I went out and I looked at that little rose bush and I thought, okay, it's getting close to spring. Maybe it won't be too long. I can see some blooms on this bush. And things will be better. One little rose come on that twig. It dried up. Fell away. God, things aren't no better. Roses will bloom again. Just wait and see. Okay, God, when? The next spring came. Okay, the rose bush is starting to make some green leaves. Maybe this is the time. I think it was probably 10 years later before that promise came to pass. I didn't always see God working, but He put me through a test. He put me through a dying time. It was figuratively speaking, and you know what? Those roses did bloom again. That rose bush is gone. I don't even know when it died. If I had gone to that rose bush when that bud was making and tried to open up the petals to get that rose to be opened up, I would have broken the petals and there would not have been a rose. I'm sorry, but it's a process when God gives you a promise. Until it's fulfilled. But we've got to wait on God. We've got to keep trusting as the psalmist and say, God, I praise you for your word. God, I praise you that the roses will bloom. It might not be today, and it might not be tomorrow, and it might not be next year. But God, I praise you that the roses will bloom again. And when He says that, it will happen. So until God brings you through, keep trusting Him. Keep believing His word. Because what God starts, He finishes. He will complete it. Until He brings it to pass, He just said to praise him. Musicians, would you come? I want to read one more thing. I copied this. I don't even know who I copied it off of. It says, I would have pulled Joseph out. I would have pulled Joseph out of the pit and out of the prison and out of the pain. And I would have cheated nations out of the one God would use to deliver them from the famine. I would have pulled David out of the Saul's spear-throwing presence, out of the caves he had to hide in, and out of the pain of rejection. And I would have cheated Israel out of a God-hearted king. I would have pulled Esther out of being snatched away from her only family, out of being placed in a position she never asked for, out of the path of a vicious, power-hungry foe. But I would have cheated a people out of the woman that God would use to save their very lives. I would have pulled Jesus off of the cross, off of the road that led to suffering and pain, off the path that would mean nakedness and beatings and nails and thorns. And I would have cheated a world out of a Savior, out of salvation, out of an eternity with no more suffering and no more pain. And friend, I want to pull you out. I want to change your path and stop your pain. Right now, I know I would be wrong and I would be out of line. I would be cheating you and cheating the world out of so much good. Because God loves you and He knows the good this pain will produce. But He is watching over you and He is keeping you in the midst of this. And He's promising you that you can trust Him, even when it feels like it's more than you can bear. Would you stand tonight? I'm going to give a general altar call. However you're being tested and tried, God says to praise Him for the word. You say, well, everything's hunky-dory with me. Everything's going just really good. Let me tell you, there's people here whose dreams have been shattered. There's people here that is hurting and needs to hear from God. Would you come and pray? And if your dreams are all been satisfied, if all your dreams have come true, then I ask you to pray for those who needs a touch, who needs strength, who needs their faith encouraged, who will have strength and patience and faith to make it until those roses do bloom again. Would you come?